Now let's open our scriptures and we'll run straight into the conversation. 1 John chapter 3. I'll read from verse 1 to verse 3. Amen. Are we there? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Verse 2. Beloved, now we are the what? The sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he appear, we shall be like him. Can everybody say we shall be like him? So every one of us, you know, if somebody had ever asked you before, you know, what are you turning out to be? You know, this is a good place to, you know the finality of this whole conversation. That when he appears and when we look at Jesus, you know, Revelation described how he would appear, right? You know, it says when we see him. Now imagine when you see Jesus, it says, you shall be like him. It now says, I'm not done with that, please. For we shall see him as he is. Yeah, verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him, what does he do? He purifies himself, even as he is pure. Hallelujah. Amen. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this morning. Thank you that you're already speaking to us. And we pray this morning that every heart would understand. And you yourself, as we've prayed, that the spirit of wisdom and revelation would minister to everyone's heart. We also pray that every heart would understand as the Spirit ministers. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's take it back to verse 1. You know, this morning, what I want us to quickly look at is becoming another man. And it's also even in the light of what Papi has been teaching us around how to grow your church. Becoming another man. You know, Papi said in the first service that if you remain yourself, you would hurt yourself and you will hurt things. You will hurt people. You will hurt everyone around you. You know, let's say I won't be myself. Yeah. Don't be yourself. Don't be yourself. Don't be yourself. He says that the world does not know what Jesus has become. He said the world doesn't know him. And so that's why it's very hard for you to fight soul to soul to help somebody understand who Jesus is. You know, I think it was back then is where I understood that if somebody is relating with you at the realm of the soul, you can't relate with the person at that same, it can't be soul to soul to communicate something to that person. You have to go to something that the soul respects, which is the spirit, right? So when you're trying to have, there were days I've tried to argue, and I remember there was a very interesting guy, and he was trying to argue that speaking in tongues was not a reality. And I was arguing. Do you understand? It got so bad, I wanted to say, oh, yeah, come and hear the tongue, you know? And now that's what happens when you are trying to make the world see him. It says the world don't know us because they never gave attention to him. Now, they know that he came as the Messiah. But this revelation is who he is to us. The world doesn't know him as that. like the savior of the world, the one who died for us. Now, they know, but this is a different knowing. Now, you might think this knowing is like they've not heard it. As per, maybe they've not, you know, people preach almost every, there's someone almost everywhere. Do you get? Although some people haven't heard Jesus. Yeah, I mean, if you go to some remote places, remote countries, there are places that they've not heard this Jesus. I mean, like, they don't even know that there's a Jesus called the Messiah. There's some places like that. But plus, that kind of place and the places that have heard him but have not acknowledged that knowledge, he has put them into the world. He says, the world don't know us because they don't know him. Now, if we look at the life of Jesus, when Jesus came to the earth, Jesus became somebody because of his assignment, right? And he went through different things, right? Now, the world doesn't know Jesus in that light. You know, down to when he became the Son of God. He came as the Word that became flesh, that dwelt amongst us. He was born in a manger. He lived in the house of Joseph. He grew in stature, in wisdom, and he obtained favor with God and men. He, you know, he did maybe internship with carpentry small. You know, we don't know how many years. But some people wanted to judge him because I felt maybe he learned it well. You know, for some people to still want to hold that credence to him that, we got to be making chair. If it was a bad carpenter, they would not put that. They will say, thank God. What's the Bible school? Yeah. Your case will not be like that, you know. That they would think you going to Bible school was because you had a lesser responsibility. Or you could not do what was committed into your hand. You know, Bible school is befitting someone like me now. I'll do it well. Yeah. No, not because I'm not doing what, like me, Nisheshe, Nimoshewa Losi Bible school. And you know, God will heal anyone that probably had that mentality. You know, maybe when you see someone say, I'm going to Bible school, and actually, it wasn't going to be the No. It's a worthy cause. You know, as long as it's what God, it should even be what every child of God should do. It's like they want to teach you how to read your Bible. You know, that's just so. If you have the resources, the opportunity to go to even to the best Bible school, yeah, you can. You can. At least you go to the best secondary school and all of that. Hallelujah. And so the world didn't know Jesus in this light. That's what he means by the world didn't know him. The world didn't know that at the end of the day, he went to the cross. Even the reason they had in mind for him going to the cross was even different for us. He was being punished. That was what they saw. But he was going to the cross to take upon himself the sin of the whole world. They didn't see it that way. Even Satan didn't see it that way. Bible says if he knew, he wouldn't have crucified him, the God of glory. He wouldn't have crucified him. So the world didn't know what Jesus turned out to be. So also, what you are turning out to be, they don't understand. And so when we are trying to put ourselves in a place of, this is what I'm really becoming, and I'm not really becoming a bad person. No. You are doing yourself a disservice. Jesus didn't put himself under that obligation. Yeah. Wow. I'm not like a bad person, no. You know, it's because they sent me from heaven. No. He didn't have to explain who he was becoming. Yes. Now the world will still appreciate who would become. You know, Bible says the earth, the whole earth is groaning for the manifestation. So there's a manifestation that would reveal what we will become, that the world would now know and cannot gainsay. That's one. But this is different. This is more or less like what the spirit of knowledge, wisdom, revelation does. That it would. And God also needs to do this for us. If you don't understand what God the Father did in Jesus, is a work of revelation. That's how you appreciate all that he's doing with you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And so in our own journey, you know, just as we have spoken about Jesus, God is also working with us, right? God is working with us, right? And so the journey to become another man, you know, I like the word becoming, even more than become, because becoming speaks more of it's continuous. We are becoming. There's something we are becoming. There's something we are turning out to be. And that is only happening because, you know, Papi says some, and I think there's a YouTube short on that, that you can't reach a man that God has not reached. That knowledge for me was deliverance. You know the way you go to sleep with heavy heart, because I remember preaching to my supposed first Muslim did not convert. It was a 5 minutes conversion. He converted back again. Say Mishemo. Baba Mialaji. Oma Lumile. He was in school. I still remember his name, Jola Osho. That's his name. Yusuf. That's his name. I even know where it works. It was supposed to be my first. I said, yeah. Maybe heaven even saw my jubilation was too much than the salvation. They said, would that give a boy humble? Let's convert him back. Yeah, so I preached him. I cornered him at Shoden Day, our hostel then. And I said, I will get one Muslim saved. Ahaba. So I started preaching. I joined all the preaching, Sha. And I was going somewhere. Will you give your life to Christ? You know when you are going somewhere, and that's not how to preach actually, you know. I wanted to just quickly tell him, will you give your life to Christ? For him to answer that question. And he said, okay, I'll give him my life. Thank God, yeah, let's pray. It was not closing his eyes, he was really thinking. Because I think his dad is maybe staunch, you know, all those imam and all those things. And so in 5 minutes time, you know, I was almost going to like go and meet my brethren in the room that, yeah, first Muslim convert. Where's your Muslim convert? The guy fell in my hand. He just said, "Will I look on you? I can't do this thing, no." He's still a Muslim now. Maybe he's even an afasef or an imam. I don't know. And so, you can't reach a man God has not reached, right? Like Papi said. So he gave me a lot of deliverance, you know. So, and he's not saying you don't reach people again. Do you get? Like, you don't say, "Ah, God has not reached you. I'm not." No. You become like Jonah. You will turn to Jonah. Because him reaching people is also him sending people to them. May I even believe that it is one line upon one line. Maybe me, I will say J, you will say E. Before we know it, someone will say Jesus is Lord. Then the guy will, I believe that. You know, you hear a part here, you hear a part here, then the one that really convicts will just rest upon all the ones you've heard. And then the person will change. And so the reason why we are becoming another man is because God has reached us. Hallelujah. Amen. God has met with us. You know this house, God meets with us. It's as though if they were to build a mountain here, this is a mountain. That people come to meet the Lord. You're becoming another man because God has zeroed in on you. You're becoming another man because God has intervened in a situation. Now, the interesting thing is, when we say God should come do a thing, many a times, the least thing that we expect to change is what God puts is most or highest expectation on that it should change. For example, if you say, "God, heal me." Now, for you, it's your body, right? But for God, is your heart understanding that he is the healer. And you taking a new posture, knowing that you have a Jehovah Rohi, the one that heals, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? So for God, you are the most important factor in that equation that needs to change. You are actually not a constant for every other one to change. So as much as we are looking to God to intervene, God is looking much to us to change. And so even at times, he influences all the other factors for that your change. And so when it comes for us, it's about all those other things, but it is first about us. Because that, you know, that scripture in 1 John 3 is like a prophecy and a hope. It says, you will become like him when he appears. Now, in some of you can say amen too. But it's also a hope you have to hold in anticipation that every time he reaches me, there will be a demand on this hope. Now, let me tell us, see, if you are not becoming another man, now, with all God is doing with you, you wouldn't be like him when he appears. He's not opapaparada. Do you get? So it's like you will just find out that all the becomings that you've become, they are like him. Like you have morphed. Then when he appears, you now look like him. So it's not that maybe as you are, without conforming to the image of Christ, then when he just appears, he does not have a choice. No, that's not what he's saying. No, like, he has cuckoo come for us. So he should just transform. No. This is not transform. He says the expectations that you are getting now, when you get there, you will find out that it was becoming like Jesus that they were making of you. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you're not becoming now and you're waiting for this hope to be a reality, it will not. Amen. 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 Let's go back to 1 John. Let's go to verse 2, please. It says, beloved, now we know we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Amen. 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 You know, there are many ways you would know that God is reaching out to you. There are many ways. Many a times, almost all the time, when you come to the house of God, God is reaching you. And that's why it's not strange when you hear, I'm a changed person. Like after a service. It should be the norm actually. Because what you've done in that service is that you have presented yourself in the courts of God and you've seen what you are not, and a demand of change has been placed on you and you've made adjustments. So this is not some superfluous experience. Like, this is not once in a year encounter. This is like daily dose. You know what he said in Luke? He says, if anyone would follow me, he says he should what? Carry his cross daily. Now, he's saying, there's a popular saying we usually use in school, then, die daily. Die daily. It was after a Brock Bilez preaching. Die daily. Are you dying today? Die daily. My brother, die daily. Die, die. You know, the idea of die daily is so that you are turning to become another person daily. Even though some of our brothers abused it, you know, like they will inflict you and say, you die, ensure you die. Don't respond. A dead man, don't respond. You know, that was the extreme. Or what would Jesus do? That one was another one. So God is coming, he's always coming to us. But he's coming to us is not so much to change the other factors, like I said. It's that as other factors are changing, it's so that you can respond. It's so that you can respond to the call of God to be a different man. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 3. And every man that had this hope. You know, I said this is a hope for us. See, when you have a hope, it's simple. It's saying that you are always on the lookout. So it's like you have something in your hand. And they tell you it's a hope. Now, whatsoever is in your hand puts you in an expectation. So let me give you a very natural. So something happens to you. And then you are immediately asking, God, what are you saying and what are you doing with me because of this thing that has happened? That's you responding to a hope. You know, for example, let's say maybe Papi gave me a money to hold in hope that he will tell me what to use it to buy. Now, whenever he sends me on an errand, it's my job to say, is it this money I will use? Like, I'm always asking because he's sending me on an errand. I'm saying, oh, is it this money I will use to fulfill this errand? Because I have that money in hope of an errand that will send me. So they gave us this hope that we'll be like Jesus. But every intervention of Christ in our life is to make us ask, to make us inquire that I have this hope. That's what it means that he purifies himself. I have this hope. Is it this guy that will make me turn this way? Is it this incident that will make me turn this? Or what will this incident make me turn to? Or what is my requirement in this season? The world can't tell us how to respond in every season. Because they don't know what you are becoming. That's what he said. He says they don't know you because they never knew him. And so whenever God reaches out to us, there's always still another call that he makes to us. Laulu, how are you turning? How are you morphing? What are you becoming in this season? What are you becoming after this word you're hearing? What are you becoming after this encounter with Jesus? What are you becoming after this prayer? So it's like there's a call of becoming on every Jesus' outreach. Whenever he reaches out to you, there's I do all the other factors, but there's a requirement for me to change at the instance of Jesus reaching out. And it started for every one of us at new birth when we gave our life to Christ. There was a becoming that day. We sang the song, the things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more. There's a great change since I'm born again. So we understand what I'm saying, but we lose this purification work, which should keep us, you know, because we have not fully become like him. And so there should still always be that question of, you know, God, what events, what circumstances are coming to me that is placing a demand for me to make a change? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'll quickly look at events. I'll call them major events. Major events that should lead you to becoming another man. Wow. Now, there, like I said, you know, you come to church every day, right? And so you should be becoming a different person. But there are some major events that they're actually not there to do any other thing. They're actually for there to become another person. Wow. The first of it is born again. Now, I think in this our own season, we've seen people who claim to be born again, but they are not born again. Now, I remember there was a time I went for an outreach in school and the evangelism secretary wanted to go and preach. Or he was out to preach. And then he encountered someone there within the campus and he knew the person was not born again and he wanted to start the conversation of, I think it was because of even the way the person was dressed. And before he could say, you know, my name is blah, 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 I want to preach, he said, I'm born again, oh. And our evangelism secretary said, you're born again? Ah. Now, the reaction was that if you say you are born again, then Yeah, like it was, they couldn't measure it. Like if you say you're born again, you should not be like this. Like you should rather be like this. And so a born again that doesn't change anything about you is not born again. A born again, yeah, and that's why we have born again, people going to church and are not changed. A born again without, because that experience came for you. See, that experience did not come because cortis were on your neck. Yeah, I've led people to Christ because the reason that they came, they ran to church was because they said if they don't join cult, blah, blah, blah. And I said, guy, you have to give your life to Christ so that we can now tell those people that they can't deal with you. Or maybe the one that said had a witch in our room. And said, oh, you have to give your, when you give your life to Christ, then I will give you my own name. You not give it to them. Even though after I gave my name, I said, I have to do overnight too. This one that, hey? I'm a boy, I find you lolo, you know? Ah. Even at my, I would do video. I didn't do the video. Because the only food I was eating in school then was bread and beans. And I have a strong conviction that they were putting purity in that bread and beans. Because I almost missed a terminal exam. Because of bread and beans. Yeah. You will sleep. There's nowhere you want to. It's not sleep. See, every sleep around, we are awake for your sake. Yeah, you will sleep. You sleep. So I slept that night and I woke up 6 a.m. and I was alive, you know. And the lady came back to church to say the lady didn't got the message. You understand? So it's not so much about what is chasing you. At that born again experience, is actually, if God would reveal to you, he's only about you. It's just that he had to fight those other things to boost faith in your heart that this is much more better than what you were, where you were coming from. So the born again experience is to cause a change in you. Actually, whenever you get born again, even though we're already born again, but if there's someone here, you're not born again, now you will get born again. But when you get born again, the first question is, God, what would change about this life? It's change. It's change. It's the pattern of Jesus, when he does it, you will not go back to where you were coming from. You just find out there's a new path. You didn't plan, you never imagined a new path. Or a new way of life. There's some people that never imagined a new way to dress. They're always like, this is the only way I can dress. But, they got born again. Everything changed. Everything changed. So that's what the born again experience lives with you. You become another person. Can we go to that place in Romans that talked about if any man be in Christ? Oh, sorry. 2 Corinthians 5. Okay. Thank you, sir. There's another place I want to read in Romans if I can. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Yeah. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Old you is passed away. Behold, old you. You is become new. Since all things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Can we read this in Amplified? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as Savior, he is a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition have passed away. Behold, new things have come because spiritual awakening brings a new life. So you can't live after the old anymore. So you ask, you inquire. The second thing is, the second event that should lead you to becoming another man is the infilling of the Holy Ghost. You know, a Peter that was never bold. After the baptism, and that's why for every new assignment God gives to us, we need the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Because you might think you are bold. See, until you hear tongues. Like, you think you can amount to something until your tongue comes up. Until somebody who is reputable just says something that is not validating you. Said that they were behaving as if they were drunk in the morning. That's abuse, though. Like, that's irresponsibility. He's not saying that it's strange to drink in the morning. He's just saying, if you drink in the morning, you are not responsible. This is not the time everybody drinks. But Bible says, and Peter rose up. He spake with boldness. So, the infilling of the Holy Ghost don't leave you the same. And interestingly, much of this thing that we're discussing is how we lay a demand on the hope that we have. Yeah. You know that hope? Yeah. That we are meant to purify ourselves in. Lord. When the Holy Ghost came upon Saul, he became another man. He became another man. He became another person. And that's why God can turn any man to the, like, it can be a miraculous turnaround. Yes. The infilling of the Holy Ghost. Can we say the infilling of the Holy Ghost?
The infilling of the Holy Ghost.
Another event that, you know, brings us to becoming another man is when you receive the word of the Lord. Now, I think as we keep going up, it's like the levels is now getting tougher. Like, a lot of people now begin to drop the ball of becoming. At born again, you know, if you don't become, it's obvious. They will say you are not born again. At the infilling of the Holy Ghost, at least if you can speak in tongues, they will think you have something. But you might not become another person. But as we are climbing, the requirement to becoming another person is now slippery. Let's read on. Now, I didn't even arrange this thing intentionally, but I just saw that now that I think the way I wrote it down is in that order. So when you receive a word of the Lord, now, what do I mean by when you receive a word of the Lord? I think we've learned in this house that the word of the Lord to you is God's heart to you. And I think it was even put this way. The word of the Lord to you is not the word of the Lord. It's not what God is necessarily saying about you. Like, Shola is tall. Shola, you go out tomorrow and you come back. Now, that's me, maybe by the spirit of prophecy, you know, saying that to you, or maybe word of knowledge or any of the gifts. And you're like, it's true. Now, it's so much about the heart of God to you. Yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So whenever we receive that, you know, the first place he even starts from is the place of identity. Yeah. You know, when you come to him, you feel less. He's saying you are great. Now, he's wanting you to become great. So there's a requirement to become another man at the word of the Lord. Because it's not you. You yourself, you know that it's not you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? So when the word of the Lord comes to us, there is a huge gap between the person that came and that word. The next thing is, how shall these things be? So how will I move from point A to point B? So we would never receive the word of the Lord and it will fulfill what the Lord wants it to fulfill without us becoming what the word is saying. So the word of the Lord will come to us, and immediately you clearly know that it's not you. And you have to make a decision to become another person. Amen.
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 Let me read first. Another event that brings a requirement to becoming another man is when an assignment is given to you.
Wow.
See, this one I respect this one because the definition for even giving you an assignment itself tells you that you were not something before it was the benevolence of God. So for example, if I'm given an assignment to take care of teenagers, now I may never even had a teenager in my house to even understand how they behave. But because I've been given an assignment to take care of teenagers, then I have to go become a teenage caregiver. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, it would be foolish of me if I remain. I said, what do I go know? It will spoil. So when an assignment is given to us, it's not even so much about, hey, let me do this assignment, or let me not do this assignment. It's, who will I become to make this assignment possible? For example, like Papi said in the morning, greatness. They've given you the assignment of greatness. Then you have to become the man of greatness.
Yeah.
Oh, does the man of greatness have this routine? Yeah, then that will be your routine.
Right.
So you kind of have an assignment and still remain yourself.
Mm.
Let me even give us a very natural example. Now, there are some people that, and I've seen it over and over, there are some people that they will become co-founders not because they are ready to found a business. I still don't understand how that thing works. So there's a guy that I know very well. I actually, when I was working at Andela, he was one of the people that we always say they didn't know anything about software, or maybe some new partly, but they are coming to that environment so that they can become software engineers. And literally, you see some other people, they've used maybe 15 years in that industry. They've used, those are people that are doing big things. And somewhere along the line, there was just one guy that just took him from, I think he was just probably just having 3 years of experience. And he said he would be CTO. Now, myself and Toby know that. You just see that. He will say this is what he wants to build. He will just forget that there's no foundation there. You understand, like, a lot of people beat their chest on experience to do those kind of work. But this guy just became his co-founder. I don't even understand their relationship, but the experience that this guy has can't be worthy of that position. Even if investors see that, they'll be skeptical. Like, can they really invest in a business like this? But let me tell you, if that guy gets too full of himself and say, Cotton City, you sit down here, you come here. And he does not quickly go and enroll in a school of learning, it will really spoil things. So that's just a natural example of when an assignment is given to you, you quickly become another person. Oh, which course can they fast track my learning? Like, literally, my other mates, some of them have built their fifth company. But me, I most likely should still be working on that maybe somewhere for the next 5 years. But whatsoever happened, I don't know. Now I'm made to found a business with someone. Then at that point, I'm immediately moving myself into places I've not literally moved into before. I'll start asking questions. Oh, how do I adjust myself? Your routine starts changing. You understand what I'm saying? So that's an example of when an assignment is given to you. But more so, when God gives us an assignment, it's not so much about your qualification, but it's also about you becoming the right person to do that job. I remember the first time I went to do evangelism. I knew that every way I quoted was not in the Bible. It was at Unilag there, the campus. And I saw one pastor of RCF, he was shaking his head. He knew that a madman had escaped. Yeah, it was just like, the other guys were in other bus stops. So me, I was like, you have to. And it was a queue. Everything I said was not in the Bible. I just joined this one. My pastor said, put everything together. But when I go back to the chapel, I knew everything I said, and I didn't find one in the Bible. Then I vowed that day that, hey, I have to read my Bible. Yeah. So because of that assignment that I need to get people saved, I need to read my Bible. Are we following? So I said, born again, infilling of the Holy Ghost, when you receive a word of the Lord, when an assignment is given unto you, you become another man. Don't remain yourself. If you remain yourself, oh my bad, yeah. The next one is when you get married. Now, this is my first time saying this in any sermon. So I've not become a marriage counselor yet. they've ordained me then. So I'll have to start. So yeah, you know, it's so funny now. Even Papi's experience of speaking this is not even intimidating me. Oh my God. But really, really, marriage requires you become another person. If you remain yourself, you will spoil things. You've not been a father before. Yeah. You would learn not to be the father that you never had. You would learn it. You would learn it. It's as though they are punishing you. You would learn it. So marriage naturally confers you the school that you can enroll in to become someone else. You know, like we've learned this, you didn't marry the man you wanted to marry. You are going to make the man or the woman that you want. So marriage also puts a responsibility to become. It puts a responsibility on us to become. The next one is when you are anointed or the hands are laid upon you. When hands are laid upon you. See, when you are told that go and do, because hands is laid upon you. See, you can't be the same again. You can't what? You can't be the same again. You remember Jesus' example? He says, the hand of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to be. There's Jesus' being. When the hand of the Lord is upon you, or when hands are laid upon you, either by the presbytery, you know, by the church, you are becoming another person. Your life can't remain the same again. Your life can't remain the same again. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Then the last one I'll share before I run away to another thing I want to share with us is when a new season is unlocked over you. See, friends, we have a privilege in this house that God, we really know God as the God of all seasons. That from time to time, there's a new season that is breaking over us. But all those seasons are not breaking for breaking's sake, so that we can remain who we are. We have been told we will do this great and mighty work. We are to become another person to really do that work. We want to remain this and be able to do that work. Another must come in and we will become all that God wants us to become to fulfill that work that God has unlocked by that season. You know, I remember when I was preparing to get married, you know, this is the first time I'm even saying this to myself again. I remember that there was a season that was unlocked. And I just found out that all the things that I started doing was to becoming a type of person. Now, we didn't know so much, but there was a conditioning of heart that was just tilting or leading my heart towards becoming a type of brother. And honestly, even I myself, I couldn't really say that it was because I wanted to get married. But I just knew that everything that season ushered me to do, they were just to changing to becoming that type of a person. I always told myself before that, I was very selfish. But that season, God broke the... That was when I knew that selfishness has chain. Like, you just found out that you are selfish. Like, it's just all about you. I just found out that there was one particular incident that just happened. Bah! And it was in that season. So God ensures that we become a different people when he opens us to a new season. You know, I'll quickly mention some instances in the scriptures, and I think as I talk about it, you can go there. You know, when Jesus encountered Peter, you know, he told them that, "Follow me, I will make you fishers of men." Now, that intervention that happened in their lives placed the requirement for them to become another type of man. We all know the story of Elijah and Elisha, right? What Elisha was attending to, and in that journey, Elijah cast his mantle upon him. He became another man. So you can't remain yourself. You can't remain what? Yourself. Let me quickly tell us what we are not becoming. I think I've learned that from Papi there. Quickly say what you are not saying. Yeah. You know, we're not becoming a people without order, rule, or discipline. That's the first one. We're not. We're not becoming freestyle. Free thinkers. Let me do as it pleases. No. There is no becoming that will make you disorderly, without rule, and without discipline. We are also not becoming anything that does not look like the fruit of the Spirit. Anything. Whether we declare it with speaker, if it's not like the fruit of the Spirit, we are not becoming it. We are not becoming it. We are not becoming it. And lastly, what we are not becoming is, we are not becoming a man that God cannot reach again. Those are three things that we're not becoming. We're not becoming people without order. People without rule. People without discipline. We're not becoming people that don't look like scriptures again. People that don't look like the fruit of the Spirit. And we're not becoming people that God regretted reaching out to. You know, people that God cannot reach again. A people he cannot call a people again. See, you know, there are edges we can break that serpents will bite. Yeah. There are landmarks that if removed, we will not remain. That's another becoming. It's a becoming that has gone outside of the arm stretch of God. He said, the reason why my hand cannot reach you, the reason why my ear cannot hear you, is because of your sin. So there are some places his hand cannot reach. Can you tell yourself, I will not become a man God cannot reach? I will not become a man God cannot reach. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. And we'll be tying everything up now. It says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him." The many becomings that you would have in your life is what would turn out to be this. The many turnings, the many changing of your position, the many not being yourself. See, as much as that thing sounds intellectual, it should start becoming annoying to you. It should even start, you know, be gracious in your words. You know, when people say something like, "Oh, this is who I am," or "This is how me I like," you know. So changes that are required, you know, when you're becoming another person, or when you become another person. First of all, it's the state of your mind will change. Or be required to change because of the renewal of mind. Yeah. your routine, your daily and frequent activities changes.
Yes.
Your routine would change.
Yes.
Your routine would change. See, what Elisha was attending to before, after mantle rested on him, changed tremendously.
Yes.
He became another person that could now serve the prophet. Your routines will change. Your daily and frequent activities will change. Your companion on this journey will change. Your companion will change. Now, this is now the beautiful thing. All forms of outward appearance will change. All forms of outward appearance will change. Then the last one is your direction and your use of energy will change. Now, see, if the things your energy was being used for before God came to you, and it's still the same appetite or the same energy you still have, then something is wrong. You are either not heeding to the instructions that God is bringing to you to become another person. You know, friends, God wants us to turn to another person so that everything that he desires of us, this hope that he has placed in our hands, when he appears, it's not like we would not be far from the hope. We would have been the hope. That's Jesus' prayers. That it will no longer be hope. Because it has now been substantiated.
Yeah.
It will no longer be a thing we are looking forward to. Because as it is now, it's forward looking. It's just that you are making daily progress to make that forward looking a reality. Before, what I always thought, that when Jesus appeared, if it was by day, he will manage it. No. That's what I always thought before, like, you don't have choice. This is the vessel you have. No. Bible says he's coming for a bride that is spotless, without wrinkle. So the only announcement that we need is we should become, or we should be becoming, all that God is demanding of us. It's not, I won't tell us if it was easy. Because it's Jesus' work in our lives. You know, there's a prophecy where it talks about he uses the winnowing fan. So it's like you have to just allow. See, when Jesus is doing those other things, that is, allow him to do that work also. There's another work that Jesus wants to do, aside changing other factors.
Yeah.
At times, we need to remember, hey, sir, Eddie Bagbio called me. Because the end goal is that he will give you a new heart.
Yes,
because you would have become another person with a new heart. That was the prophecy in Ezekiel. It will change the heart.
Yes.
That at the end of the day, you were not who you were before. So when he breaks a season over us, you can still ask one more question, Lord. My heart is here for you. What am I meant to change? How am I meant to turn? How is this heart meant to adjust? Can we just respond to God in prayers?